Well, we are coming right up onto Halloween, aren't we? This is the last EPP episode before Halloween. Of course, there'll be a new one next week, but we'll be into November and into the, I guess, holiday season, so to speak. But this will be our EPP bonus episode, EPP 324. Welcome to the program. My name's Tony Bruschi. On today's EPP bonus episode, it's dark. I'm just going to start there, and I'm going to say that. It is dark. If you are looking for the positive, uplifting ghost story today, this is not your episode. I'm going to throw it out there because I feel, you know, a forewarning is needed these days, you know, depending on how your day's going. It's been a rough year, obviously. So if you're looking for some dark, scary ghost stories, this is going to be a good episode for you. It's very interesting. We talk about very dark forces that invade a woman's life who is already suffering from physical ailments, you know, already just not feeling good and physically really kind of down for the count, using all that she has to fight off that stuff. But then something else seems to attach on and then just lingers through life, leaving her in a living hell. We're also going to hear the story of a family who likes antiquing. And it seems that during one of those antique store finds, something was attached to some item brought home, a dark force that would actually go on to torment a house guest, even following them home. But why? Two long stories, two very good, intriguing, spooky, dark stories for Halloween 2020, because why not go dark for 2020? You know, it's 2020. What do you say? That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 324. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. So you like antiques? It's okay. So do I. It's one of my favorite pastimes. It's one of the few things I feel kind of okay doing right now with everything going on. If I go to an antique store that is not busy, keyword not busy, otherwise it turns into the Pac-Man game from hell. It does. When there's people everywhere and some are wearing masks, some are not, you feel like a ghost sometimes in an antique store running around and you're just trying to avoid the people. Me and Harp call it Pac-Man from hell. But I enjoy it when I'm like the only one there. Anyway, this is not about COVID. This is about ghosts and antiques. I'm sure the thought has crossed your mind once or twice of an object that you purchase at an antique store or thought about purchasing. What if you get it home and what if it's haunted? What do you do? Especially if you buy a whole bunch at once, like an estate sale type deal, and you're like, oh, all these great things, and you get a trunk load of stuff and you take it home and then weird things start happening. But maybe not even to you. Maybe they start happening to your guests. Guests that are notoriously sensitive to something on the other side. How do you handle something like that? Or sometimes maybe you don't even have to be that one that handles it. Maybe sometimes there'll be some positive intervention from the other side for that person being afflicted by whatever was inadvertently brought into your house. That's what happens in our next story. Take a listen. I reside in Rochester, New York, home of the garbage plate, Kodak, and Arthur Shawcross, not to mention the burial of both Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass. Rochester has a rich history, including old paranormal, All my life, I was known to be extremely sensitive. Growing up, my family made fun of me for being such a sensitive and emotional child. I still am to this day and wish I could shake it off. But, unfortunately, I am weird this way. I suffer from chronic pain, mainly fibromyalgia and endometriosis, anxiety and depression. Stress and illness or moving the wrong way would be my biggest triggers. This would come into play later in the story. I was known to get sick a lot and need extra care as a young child. I've had many paranormal experiences. My husband's family runs and operates a successful haunted house here in Rochester. Hell, we even got married on Halloween 2018. I love the paranormal and the mystery. Not just that, but history fascinates me. His family would go to estate sales to find old antiques and decorations to fill the room and make it feel and look authentic. This would also play a part later. I had one experience while both my younger brother and sister and I were playing in an attic. I could go into more detail, but this other story of mine that probably takes the paranormal cake. To start off, my great-grandmother Caroline Jenny, or we call her Granny Jenny, was one of the most genuine, beautiful, caring souls to walk on this screwed-up planet. She was religious and had a love for angels. I was her first great-grandchild, and she always called me Angel or Sweet Girl. When I would go to her house, as soon as I got to the door, she always greeted me with a tight hug and cut my face with her cold, fragile hands, kissing me on my forehead. When I was maybe 24 at the time, she asked me to draw her an angel, and that would be my very first commission-based piece. I drew it, and she cried. "She's so beautiful. Look at her wings. You are so talented." Then in August of 2016, great-grandma Jenny died of ovarian cancer. She was the glue that held the family together. That glue was no longer strong enough to hold on, and I saw everyone's true colors come out and bring out their worst selves. About a week after she had passed, things started happening. Paranormal things. I lived in a split-level house with my grandparents, brother, sister, mom, nephew, and aunt. It was a full house. My room was on the basement level. It was my sanctuary where I felt where I could be myself and where I could recharge my battery, so to speak. One night around 3 a.m., I was half asleep and woke up scratching and meowing at my bedroom door. I dragged myself out of bed and opened my door, and there on the floor was my black cat, Mr. Boots. He looked frantic. His pupils were large. He invited himself in and sat down in front of my bed and stared at the top far corner of my room, wiping his tail side to side. He was aggravated, angry. I called out his name, "Boots, what's wrong?" He did not look back. Then he slowly got on all fours, hunched his back, and his hair stood right up and started to hiss. I was confused and scared at the same time. I traced his eye line where the corner was, but nothing was there. He did not move from that spot for 10 minutes, so then suddenly he snapped out of that trance, looked back at me and meowed. He jumped on my bed and laid in front of me, which rarely happens. My gut told me he's protecting me from something, and it does not feel right. The next morning, I worked up the courage to ask anyone in the house if they noticed anything weird or different. My sister was living with us at the time with her son, Noah, who was 2.5 years old at the time. She spoke up and said that Noah could not sleep because of Mr. Smiley. I paused and asked, "Mr. Smiley? Who's that?" She said that he saw him and he would not stop smiling, and it scared him. He told him to go away and cried. He woke my sister up and she had to console him. "Where was this Mr. Smiley at?" I asked. "In the closet, mainly in the corner." I mentally drew a map in my head where the corner of the closet would be, since it would be on the upper level. Then I realized that that corner of the closet met the top corner of my room. Then it dawned on me. My cat saw something, and it was not good at all. I was busy with an art piece I had to finish for college. I had an art desk with a chair to use, but I was in pain, and I thought my bed was comfier. I had a black exercise ball that I would use from time to time for my flare-ups to get comfortable. I left it in the middle of my room. I was deep into my art piece as I saw something move out of the corner of my eye. I slowly turned my head to my right and the ball was rolling back and forth. The speed of it did not slow down. Back and forth. I could not stop staring at the ball and I froze in fear. I wanted to run out of my room, but I felt stuck on my bed. I had to somehow move past that ball and leave. Then it stopped. I sat on my bed, replaying that in my head over and over, wondering what is going on. I left my room. Later that week, I was able to use my chair to my art desk. I was pushing my chair. I turned off my light and went to bed. I kept having strange dreams at night, but I can't remember what they were. That morning, I had a hard time waking up and felt groggy. I slowly rolled over to the other side to get out of bed, and my desk chair was directly next to me, facing my way. It was like someone was watching me sleep. I felt this ice-cold sensation go down my body. I did not feel so groggy anymore after that. Later that night, I was in the living room in the recliner checking out stats for my football team. I was deeper into my phone, not paying any attention to my surroundings. I knew my sister was somewhere in the house with my nephew. In front of me, there was Noah's rocking horse that began to rock back and forth. I looked up and watched it rock, and I scanned the room to see if someone was recently in the room, thinking my nephew ran by and accidentally ran into it, making it rock. I quickly went to find my sister and asked her, "Hey, did Noah go into the living room at all?" "No, he's taking a bath." I pointed towards the bathtub. All I could do was stare at her. "What?" she asked. "Noah's rocking horse rocked back and forth by itself. I didn't know if he came barging in." Out of nowhere, the whole house went completely dark. We lost power. Jokingly, she told me to get out of the house and laughed. "You attract the weirdest shit, Jess." As the week went by, my pain had gotten worse, which led me to be bedridden. It seemed like whenever I felt like there was a flare-up coming on, something bad would happen. I've noticed a strange pattern. Not only my pain gets worse at night, but so does the activity. Like it feeds off my pain. My husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, slept over that night. I was happy and relieved that he was sleeping over so I could have company and some protection. My husband is a skeptic, so it was hard for me to talk to him about what was going on. That night, it felt like my spidey sense was activated, and I just knew something was in my room. That wraps up the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode 324 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to hear the rest of these stories and get access to all of our bonus episodes, 324 for you to binge away on, sign up to be an extra podcast person in EPP. You deserve it. If you've made it this far into the year and you're not an APP yet and you've been thinking, you know, I want to do something for myself, do it. Sign up. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus episodes. Get access to advanced episodes of the show. You get our ebook. You get our audiobook. Those two right there are $30 value if you were to buy them through Amazon or Audible. If you want to get 1 month free and do the annual membership, you can do that too. $5 a month is all it is to sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We do this thing year round. If you're a newer listener to the program here around Halloween, it goes on all year so you can escape the horrors of the real world with ghost stories. Yes, I said it. It's true. So please do join us and help keep us on the air. That's how we support the show with our extra podcast people, EPPs. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support.